Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, we have a special dynamo woman, Marquita Wright. If you could see her on the video, all smiles. Definitely thank you for coming today and being here, as I think we have an inspiring message for young women joining in the cybersecurity industry. So Marquita, thanks for coming. How are you?
Definitely. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
Yeah. And you're in Columbia, South Carolina. And, you know, I've been in that area. I was stationed in there in the military for a short span. There's not a lot of high tech in that area. Would you say it's still that way, or has that changed?
And you're mostly correct. It's not a lot of high tech in this area, but there's a lot of organization that have like deep ties in the technology community. So like, for example, here in Columbia, Blue Cross Blue Shield, everybody in the world knows them as a health insurance company. Well, Blue Cross Blue Shield here in Columbia, South Carolina is one of the biggest employers for IT personnel.
Yeah. And that's where you work right now, right? Your day job, right?
Correct. I used to work for them for about 4 or 5 years.
Interesting. So, Marquita, we talked a little bit before the show. You have a great background. I want you to tell us personally about yourself, you know, your likes, dislikes, how you grew up, what little Marquita was like, and how that led to a career in cybersecurity. For all those young women out there that might think this is something for them or might have never heard of it, tell us what it is that got you to where you're at.
Yeah, definitely. And you can stop me at any time because I'll probably ramble on and on about this. But I grew up here in South Carolina, out in the country. And throughout elementary and middle high school, I was good academically. I really liked math and I really liked science. I didn't know for sure what it was that I wanted to be, but because of the way that I grew up, I was like, I definitely want to leave home and I got to be successful because that's what my grandmother, that she just harped that on us when we were little. And when I got to high school, I was approached by a Army recruiter. And up until then, I had never really thought about joining the military. My granddad did, and he served some time, and I had some cousins who did, but I never personally thought about doing it for myself. And I ended up kind of jumping out there and doing it. They gave me a job as it was called a 25 Fox back then, a 31 Fox back then. It was a communication shelter operator, and I didn't know what that was. I just told them that I wanted to work on computers. And when I got to school, I didn't see not a single computer. And so for the first couple of years that I was in the Army, I did a lot of satellite communications, radio, CommSec, stuff like that. And when I decided that I wanted to reenlist, I said, all right, I'm going to go back to these recruiters, retention people, and say, hey, I want to be on computers, and I know there's a job that does it, and this is a specific MOS that I want, and that's how I transitioned into doing IT systems. I was a IT systems technician in the Army for a while, and I loved it because we got an opportunity to kind of get our hands on a little bit of everything. So you have a really wide breadth of knowledge simply because your team was responsible for so much. So you had to learn a little bit of everything. And I really liked that part. Once I got out of the Army, I came back home to South Carolina and worked for Blue Cross Blue Shield and as a security administrator. And in that role was where I kind of said, I can do this. I did IT, I did server deployment. It was like kind of like data center work. That's what I used to do. Web servers, domain controllers, Exchange. And then when I got into this function, it was more about how those things were being secured.
All right. And let's hold there. Take a break here from our sponsors. Be right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. We have on with us Marquita Wright, who she was given her background. But one thing we didn't say and when we first introduced her and everything is she has an exceptional list of credentials after her name, cybersecurity credentials, CISSP, GLSC, GCC, right, Security Plus, CCNA. Did I miss any?
CCSP, did you say that? That's
CCSB, SP, yeah, CCSP, yes. So there's, for, this is, like I said, for most people, we focus on one or two, but some of us like to collect these. But it's definitely impressive to see that list of credentials. And she was going through her background, and we got to the Army. It looks like you got out as a chief warrant officer, right?
Yes.
So tell us about that conversion and what that meant to you.
I really loved my time in the Army. I loved the fact that I could travel. I loved the fact that I could learn, that they were heavily invested in your training and your success as a soldier. And that my career there made me more than prepared for civilian life once I got out and entered into that arena. I immediately came to my job with skills that I don't think I would have had otherwise. I knew a lot of the tools already. I understood the language. So it made that transition easy for me on that side.
If you talk to young girls that are nervous a little bit about the physical aspects in the military, what would you have to say about that?
It took me a while to get the physical aspect under control. When I joined the Army, when I was in high school, I didn't do a lot of sports. That wasn't my thing. I was just smart. I read books. That's what I did. And so my body had to get accustomed to the running and all of the PT. And I can tell you exactly when I started enjoying PT. It was my third year in the Army. We had came home from a deployment to Iraq, and I had to go to something called Warrior Leaders Course. And all young soldiers that are planning on or have crossed over to become NCOs, that's a requirement. They kind of teach us professional development in that class. And I spent 30 days in a place called Grafenwöhr, Germany, in the middle of the winter, where the snow was up to our knees every day. And we still woke up in the morning and did PT. But it was at Warrior Leaders Course where I scored, for the first time, a 300 on my PT test. And I didn't think I was physically capable of doing it. And
that's the highest you can get in the Army, 300?
That's the highest. Well, yes, that's the scale. So that's getting 100% in every event. And back then, the PT test was push-ups, sit-ups, and a two-mile run. And so it freaked me out. And after that, that was the standard for me. It had to be maintained. So for anybody that kind of looks at the at any branch of the military, the physical aspect, as long as you can get the mental psyche of your inability to do it out of your head, you can actually do it.
Yeah. So now when you started, I don't know, did you start collecting certifications in the Army, or was that when you got out? And what has that meant to your life? You know, what has that given you?
I actually started the certifications in the Army. So I think it was around 2010, 2009, the Army had a requirement. They started this new requirement that all information system administrators had to be certified to perform that job function. That's the only way that you would get the credentials. And so they have different IA levels. So there's an IA technician and IA manager level. And depending on your role, you would get assigned one of those levels, and that level told you what kind of certifications you needed to maintain in order to keep that function. And so that's kind of where it started for me, was a job requirement. And I actually got my very first IT certification while I was deployed to Iraq, actually. The requirement for having the certifications came out right before it was time for my unit to deploy. So once we got there, you know, the Commo chief and the team, we were kind of talking, we were like, oh my God, when we get back to Fort Hood, none of us are going to be certified because we've been deployed a whole year and there's no place to take the test. So we ended up reaching out to Pearson View, and they certified a room in one of our buildings to be a test center in Mosul, Iraq. It was awesome. All of our soldiers had the opportunity to get any of the IT certifications that they needed to get, not just the soldiers, but any civilians that were stationed in Mosul at the time. They also came to our test center to get certified. And I know during that deployment, I still had a job to do, but that was probably the best thing that I thought of myself having had accomplished during that deployment, was getting that set up and giving everybody an opportunity to actually start getting credentials so that they could meet the requirements for their job function.
Yeah. How is that transposed into, you said you work for Blue Cross Blue Shield, right? How's that now that you're out of the Army, how's everything you learned, everything that you do and those credentials, how's that benefited you in the civilian world?
I honestly think that they give you the foundational knowledge to be able to do your jobs successfully. So it's not just about getting the cert and adding the name of the cert to your signature line. That's not it. The process of becoming certified means that I have to put in an effort to learn something. And the certificate is just something that says, yes, I learned it, and I learned it to the point that I should be able to use what I learned in my job or my day-to-day function. And so it's not, for me, it's not about stacking up certificates. For me, it's about expanding. I started out with Security Plus and A Plus, Network Plus, and then a couple years later, I went and got my CISSP, and then about 3 years after that, I went and got my CCSP. That's progression. That's because I want to stay aware, I want to learn, and I want to be able to continue to apply the things that I know to my job function.
Do you think it's a good way to feel that you continuously are moving forward to do that? Is that a piece of it?
Definitely. I definitely feel that way. Especially when you get them, especially when you're doing it over time and they actually relate and add value to things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. But when we come back, I want you, and I know you said that all the time people ask you, what would you recommend to women, young women starting? What? How do you determine you're a good fit? What do you say progression to take? What foundations do you start putting in? But all those things that when people reach out to you, we want to hear your, you know, what you tell them in that recommendation. Be right back after we hear from our sponsors.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. We're on with Marquita Wright, who has quite a few certifications, but is an excellent example of women in cybersecurity that we're putting out to these conversations and to hear from our women and our leaders. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, that she is a leader in her local area and has put together a whole chapter for ISC Squared. But first, we wanted her to go through. She said all the time people reach out to me just on LinkedIn or whatever to say, you know, what do you as an example recommend to young women to get them started and follow in your footsteps?
Yep. First of all, I explain to when people reach out to me on LinkedIn, they're like, you know, I'm curious about cybersecurity and I'm curious about the things I can do and the types of roles that I can have. But I don't have a lot of technical knowledge. I don't know how to use tools that I see on, you know, in job descriptions. I don't even know what those things are. And so I just kind of explain to step back a little bit from the tool itself and take a look at the skills that are required inside of the field. So the cool thing about information and cybersecurity is that there's not just one swim lane to be in. There's multiple. So I can, in this field, I can learn forensics and go work in security operations, or I can learn risk management, I can learn privacy, I can do policy. So it's not just a single swim lane as some people might perceive. And so the next logical question that I get is, okay, so a lot of the job descriptions also say that I have to have this degree and this certification. Well, I have the degree and I don't have the certification. And, you know, where can I start and which one should I get? And for that question, I always point people to a few specific programs that I know about. One of them being the SANS Immersion Academy. So they actually have a period of time where you can apply for a scholarship to attend that. And once you get done with the training, you leave with some foundational certificates already. And there are a few other programs that do it. SANS also has a Veterans Emerging Academy. So if you're a vet, you can apply to that one. And then that way you have the financial assistance to kind of back what it is that you want to do if you can't afford the $500-$600 that it takes to pay for an exam and the study material. So there's a lot of companies have programs out there that can help you with stuff like that.
Interesting. So when somebody says, a young woman, you know, I don't know if I could do that. Can anybody do it? What do you tell them? You know, is it, I need it for a certain skill set. I need what, you know, I just don't feel capable. It's just something that might be interesting, but I don't feel capable. What do you tell them?
I tell them to at least take a look at the description of what those jobs may entitle. So if somebody wants to get into the cybersecurity field, but they may have a misnomer that they have to be really good at coding or something like that, you know, we kind of go into a little bit more detail about exactly what it is that they would like to get into within the field. And then that way, you know, you can kind of explain to them what to expect in those kind of roles. So like, for example, when I got out of military and I got my first real info security job, it was as a security administrator. And in that role, I was responsible for systems compliance. And so that was doing like vulnerability scanning and being able to read the reports and do the remediation on those systems. My background in IT in general and working in data center and servers and stuff like that helped me understand the language, but I was also afforded the opportunity to learn that new part that says, okay, back when I was in the data center, I didn't understand all of these different ways to secure the things that I was making operationally accessible to our unit. But now that I see this part, you know, it kind of links together for you. So I just kind of tell people that there's different avenues to getting into the field and to never be discouraged and never be overwhelmed. The other good thing about this field is that there are a lot of allies and motivators. Even I have them. So when I kind of started pursuing the cloud route and I'm like, well, I want to go study some cloud stuff because that's coming next and I need to know how to do that too. I had to reach out to some people on LinkedIn too and said, hey, I see you're already where I want to be. What did you do to get there? And what do you recommend that I start looking at as I kind of pursue that route too? So I would say, in addition to, you know, not being overwhelmed and not underestimating yourself and your skills, but also taking advantage of the resources that you have around you, because you'll be surprised who your allies are if you just reach out and ask.
Yeah, and reach out to you, I guess, to take, you don't mind having.
Yes.
Definitely.
Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'll help any way I can.
Definitely. Lots of us out there doing that. So now you also just recently went through the process of setting up a chapter for ISC Squared, which is the organization that issues the CISSP credential, among others. And in Columbia, South Carolina, and there was nothing like that in the area. So I thought it was interesting to have you give us your experience of going through that for somebody else that might be in an area where there's no chapter of ISC Squared or ISSA that would say, I want to get started. What did it take you to put that all together and be that leader in your local community?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is kind of reaching out to the parent body and voicing, you know, the fact that you want to start something, because what they'll do is transparent to you is they'll send out a blast to everybody that's already a member of the national consortium, right? And they'll say, hey, someone in Columbia, South Carolina is interested in starting a chapter, and this is their contact information. That's how we all got started, because one person here reached out and then we all got the blast email, and some of us was like, oh yeah, we definitely want to do that. We need to have something like that here. We got, you know, like a lot of brilliant minds and a couple of user groups here and there, but nothing of that scale yet. And so that's what we did. And some of us came together and we voted in officers. We wrote our bylaws. We actually applied and got granted federal and state nonprofit organizations, so we're recognized as that. We had to reach out to a lot of the local companies in the areas, some of the vendors, for financial support, as far as being able to sponsor some of our meetups, being able to provide people that could come in and deliver good content that would be relevant to everybody. So we've done classes in reference to cloud security. We've done network security. We've done GRC. And we've had a lot of vendors really support us on that here in Columbia. And that was extremely welcoming. As far as the chapter, the chartering process itself, once you get your bylaws done, you also have to accomplish three goals that you set for your chapter. And then you have to report that every month back to ISC2. And once all of that is done, they send you a letter and let you know that you're officially recognized as a chapter. They add you to the portal so that people can contact you and stuff like that. And as a chapter, we continue going on about, you know, our business. In addition to the education classes that we have, you know, for our peer families, we also teach the safe and secure online training to elementary school students here too. So our chapter members are heavily involved in that. The kids love it. They get comic books and stickers, and they know all about Garfield and Sabrina and what not to post online. And it's awesome for both sides because we get to volunteer and kind of get that notion in their head early about what cybersecurity is and, you know, how it relates to things that they're doing even at their age. So that's an awesome part of our chapter too. And we also recently had, we co-sponsored an event where we were able to give away some CISSP training material. So even though we're new, we've done a lot in the last year here in Columbia. And honestly, we all look forward to doing even bigger and better things this year.
Yeah. So you've been around for a year, and that's all the things you did in that time, or has it been a little longer than that?
No, it's about a year. So we started the process in December of last year. In December of 2018, we got chartered in July of 2019. So.
All right. So kind of in wrapping up here, anything that you need from our listeners, people who are listening in your area, how would they get a hold of you? How would they interface with you? Any products? You need a list of volunteers to do something? What can our listeners help you with?
First, I would say that anyone out there that is looking for that transition into cybersecurity, or maybe you're just starting out trying to figure it out, if you would like to have some one-on-one conversations with me, I always respond to people on LinkedIn. So that's the easiest way to get in contact with me, Marquita Wright, at LinkedIn. And in reference to our ISC2 chapter, we're always looking for new members, always looking for new volunteers. We're even always looking for people to come and give classes on security topics that they're already well-versed in. So if you want to reach out to me on LinkedIn in reference to that too, I can provide you with our packet of information, or you can go to our website, ISC2 Midland chapter, ISC2ColumbiaChapter.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. And I can just see that you'll be a big inspiration to a lot of young women that are looking to get into this. And we'd love to see you on more, maybe give an update later on how well you're doing and what things are going on. But keep in touch, and thanks for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert, just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.